All right, and welcome everyone to another Sunday afternoon here on Revolution Radio. I am Stephen Roberts, and this is Cancel the Cabal. I've got a very special guest with me tonight, this afternoon here in America. It's night where she is at, and I will let her explain where that is here in a few minutes. But I have Kathleen McCarthy. She's the owner and operator of the Magic Happens magazine. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. She's out of Østfold, Norway. I believe I'm saying that. Moss, comma, Østfold, Norway. And what the Magic Happens magazine is, the vision for the readers is to offer uplifting content that supports them in thriving in life. Digital magazine that has existed since July 2007. According to the web hosting company, they get 45,000 unique visitors that hit the more than 1.5 million pages, not including search engine bots. I believe that is per year. Yes, I'm sorry. 40 regular contributors. They are also looking for more regular contributors, and what that means is writing a minimum of 4 articles per year, no more than 3 months apart. Welcome to the show, Kathleen, or as you wanted me to call you, Kat.
Hi, Stephen.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
It is, has your time changed over there yet? It is either 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. over there, right?
It's 8.
8 p.m., so your time hasn't changed yet.
No, it's been a very confusing couple of weeks.
Yes, as well it is for me over here. Our time changed about 2 weeks back, and one of my networks is over in Europe, and they haven't changed their time yet, so I'm still waiting for them to catch up so I can have my regular hours back.
Yes, well, it'll get confusing again in a week when it does change.
Yes, it will, won't it?
Yep. I fight with that all the time, so I understand.
Well, why don't we get right into the Magic Happens online publication?
Absolutely.
Explain how that come to be.
Oh, well, it's kind of a long story, but I'll make it short. I was part of a group of people who created a online community called the Powerful Intentions Community. It got quite big at one point, and our leader was on a cruise and met Rhonda Byrne as she was taping Abraham Hicks for the movie The Secret. They were in the original, but they're not in the weren't in the second printing. And they brought The Secret to our community, and we marketed it. So I learned a lot about community and marketing, viral marketing, and working on the internet through that experience. And then when that all wound down, I decided that I needed something to do. At the time, I was involved in internet marketing or network marketing ventures, and I was getting a little bit frustrated with being told that I had to be more, I had to do more, I didn't have enough, I needed to want more. And so that's where the thriving part of the Magic Happens comes from, is because I wanted it to be a conversation about thriving with what you have instead of always having to have more. If you know anything about the law of attraction, anybody, you know that you have to be happy where you are before you'll ever be able to use the law of attraction to attract more. And that's absolutely true. And that's a big part of the conversation that I'm having with Magic Happens.
Well, I think you're right. I think one big problem over here in America, especially, that people are not really comfortable with what they have, and they seek more. And it's really a false illusion, if you will.
Absolutely. I saw a really good quote today, actually, on Facebook, and it said, "Gratitude makes you happy with what you have." And I thought that was the perfect thing to hear.
Yes, absolutely. What are some of the contributors doing on the publication?
Oh, well, we have a lot of interesting people. We have a fellow who does Zen and horse massage. He's been with us since way back in the beginning. When he first started with us, I called him and I begged him to write for us, actually. And he said, "I'm not a writer." And I said, "Well, do it anyway." And he did. and he's still with us, and he's writing a book now. Then there's David Franklin Farkas, that some people might know from the Farkas File. He has his own radio program. And he does house healing, and he's a pretty multi-talented fellow, but he's
house
been with
healings?
Us since the beginning, too. Yeah, it's about how grid lines and stuff can be damaged in a building, as well as a person or whatever, and he repairs that, I think. You know, I don't do what he does, so my explanation is kind of weak. But
physical repairs or
energetic.
Energetic. Okay.
He's a distance healer, a remote healer. So he works on houses and buildings as well as people.
Oh, okay. You just go ahead.
I was just gonna say, because if you know something bad happens in a building, it hangs on to the energy of that. For example,
certainly. I guess that's what a lot of people that are into the parapsychology are always trying to do themselves. You know, they're trying to heal spirits and humans that are still alive.
Yep, absolutely. So who else? We have just a fellow just joined us, and I'm gonna look and see if I can pronounce his name for us. He's from Calcutta. And he runs street schools for kids that live on the streets, and he gives holistic medicine to 200,000 people every year. But I have trouble with his name. Calcutta names are kind of new for me. Shadhananda, that's his first name. We'll leave it there.
No sense in trying to butcher it all, right?
No, I have no idea how to say that word. That name. Anyway, so he's just joined us, which is really exciting. And we have another fellow from Turkey who was educated in the U.S., but has been to many, many, studied under many, many masters. He's writing for us. And we have some pretty cool shaman people and even a few ordinary people. We have a kitchen witch, seventh generation kitchen witch. And we have a very eclectic group, actually.
Yeah. I guess I could digress a little bit here, and we could get into your background, your history first.
Okay.
Besides the being the owner and operator of the publication, what did you do in the past?
Okay, my education is actually in business and marketing, but I did a little bit of that because I was half owner of an electrical contracting company for almost a decade. Let me see, what else have I done? I've really just kind of bounced from thing to thing my whole life. I've been an explorer more than anything. I'm a writer myself, and let me see, I was a problem child when I was a little kid. I was very angry, and I am someone who believes with passion that our greatest weakness is our greatest strength, because I'm the product of that. When I was young, I was very angry, and now I'm quite the opposite. Everyone always seems to think I'm very loving, so I guess I beat that one.
Yeah.
I'm a grandmother. Sorry?
Well, I was just going to make a comment. I haven't gotten over my anger from childhood yet, so I don't know. Maybe if I find out what my greatest strength is, Well, I know what my greatest weakness is. That's for sure, is the anger issue.
But well, the philosophy behind that is that your greatest strength or your greatest weakness is the thing you will work the hardest on.
Yeah.
So therefore, it becomes your greatest strength.
Okay. You were about to mention your grandmother or something?
No, I am a grandmother.
Oh, okay.
So I have two grandchildren. My son's in his 30s. We'll just leave it that.
Where are you originally from?
I'm from Canada, near Toronto, actually. Okay, just okay. South of that, about an hour south of Toronto.
Well, you've lost your Canada accent, mostly.
I have. Who do I sound like?
Well, you sound like somebody from, I don't know, the upper Midwest, maybe, or something.
Okay. I think I always sounded the same. I don't... We don't all say a boot, you know.
Or a.
Oh, I say that. Frequently. I'm trying to behave here.
What took you to Norway?
Love.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. I met some people through my magazine the first year, actually, that it was in publication, and I came over to do a yoga seminar because I could and I wanted to, and I met my husband here, and we just could never stay apart after that.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So we traveled back and forth for a couple of years, and then we just got tired of that, so we got married so I could stay.
Sorry, I had to mute there. I'm still trying to clear my throat, but got a little something in there.
Hopefully it's not, you know, your finger or something.
No, it's not. That would be easy to get out, actually. But what I have in there is a little more difficult. Explain to tell us about the you've always been a writer?
No, far from it. When I was young, I was I had a lot of troubles learning to read and write. When I was 9, my mother sat me down every night and helped me learn to read well enough to, you know, function in school. But I never really got very good. And then in my 20s, I quit school when I was 16. It was I was pregnant and it was too much because I wasn't very good at reading and writing. So in my 20s, I wanted to go back to school, and I did a test, and my math skills were way up in 12th grade, but my English skills were only like grade 8. So I did something about it. I started reading, of all crazy things, Scientific American magazines. And I kept reading them until they started making sense.
Yeah.
And then I started learning to write. And I went back to college. I got 3 diplomas. Finished high school. Got 3 diplomas before I was 34.
Oddly enough, the science magazines were my favorites back in the late 70s and early 80s and that also.
Yeah, they were awesome.
Yeah. I can actually remember one story I read. I think it was in, I'm trying to remember the publication now. I know that there were so many of them back then, but, well, it escapes me. But I remember reading back in like 1980 or 79 that there was a group of scientists that built this semi-tractor, big truck, as they're called, the semi-tractors. And they...
Diesel.
Yes. And they actually had it running so well and so good that it got 120 miles to the gallon, fully loaded of 80,000 pounds of materials, whatever. And I still to this day remember that 35 plus years.
Yeah.
So actually, you know, what they're doing, what they have done for many, many years is kept the technology away because of the oil industry.
Yeah, I heard rumors about that.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, that's a big conspiracy that, you know, us crazy people like to follow, but who knows?
Very cool.
Yeah.
So it was a big, like, diesel tractor, tractor trailer.
Tractor trailer, yeah. Fully loaded with 80,000 pounds.
How cool is that? 120 miles an hour, huh?
No, 120 miles to the gallon, yes. And amazing. Today's trucks, they sorry again, hang on. They only average about 7 to 7.5 miles per gallon, fully loaded.
Wow, no wonder it costs so much to ship things.
yeah, absolutely.
Craziness.
Anyways, let's stop chasing that rabbit here a little bit.
Okay.
I guess we can concentrate more on. What do you do for the publication besides run it? Do you just are you the main editor, or are you the main producer of? Do you just place all the material on the publication, or?
No, actually, part of being a regular contributor is that you put up your own stuff. So we had to do that because we're actually getting up around 50 writers now. And it would just be way too much work for us to do that. So we've got, you know, very extensive FAQs, and we help folks, but we expect them to put it up themselves. So they put it up themselves. I write. Basically, my biggest job is finding new talent. People, sometimes they stay for a long time and sometimes they don't. So I'm always looking for new people. And because it's only, you're only required to write once every 3 months, I need a lot of talent if I want a big publication. So that's my main job. Then on the first, when we publish, my husband and I do all the last minute stuff to get it up. And the editing is done by an award-winning two-time over best-selling author. Her name's Annette Aben, and she does the editing for us. So we're all playing a part.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You know, somebody that wants to have a successful online publication, I guess you probably would have to keep a lot of talent on staff.
Always, yeah. It's a constant, ongoing thing. And any time that I take a month off, I notice because the content drops.
Right.
But that's okay. That's part of the game. And that's part that I love the most is I get to hang out with the coolest people from all over the world.
Yeah.
So
how many countries are covered as far as your contributors?
I don't have a quick answer for that.
No.
There's probably 4 or 5 countries in Europe. We have Turkey. Soon we're going to have Russia, Australia, North America. There's all kinds of people from North America. So we have a lady in south of France. She's Canadian as well, though. Several people in like London and Denmark and, well, Norway, of course. Yeah, I don't really remember where everybody comes from. And then there's the fellow from Calcutta. I'm working on getting a more global group together because I want to start having this conversation about how we all need the same things and want the same things. We want to be happy. We all want to be happy. We want our children to be happy. Some people don't know how to express that, but they do want it somewhere inside themselves. And I believe that's true of people all over the world. So I'd like to start talking about that, being content, being thriving, no matter where you live.
Well, you know, a lot of us are seeking solutions, Kat. What are some of the big solutions that some of your contributors are writing about?
Well, mostly the solution part is perspective. A lot of the articles are about different ways of changing your perspective, because that's really your most powerful tool when you want to start considering thriving and being happy. Just, it's a choice. Being happy is a choice, but how do you get to make that choice is through changing how you see things. For example, in October, I shattered my wrist, and a lot of people gave me sympathy, but I don't feel the need for that sympathy because I feel very lucky. I could have broke my neck. I fell down the stairs.
Oh,
I
goodness.
Could be in way worse position. The fact that I shattered the wrist of the hand that I use all the time seemed really like a small matter compared to that. You can apply that to anything, really. Just change your perspective. That's mostly what we're talking about. That's the most important piece, anyway. Though other people are posting things like how to make stuff for yourself. Our kitchen witch posted one time how to make dandelion jelly, for example. That was really fascinating. I didn't even know you could make jelly out of dandelions.
Right. A lot of people don't even know that. Some people do eat dandelions, a lot of flowers, you know, just a lot of natural things. I was always told when I was a boy, you know, you couldn't eat dandelions, but I guess they're not really harmful for you. I mean, they probably don't taste all that well, and they I'm not sure if they got much of nutritional value in them, but, you know, as far as I know, they probably don't hurt you.
No, probably not. They probably, I might have eaten some, I'm not sure.
Oh.
But you'd probably eat the small ones, the young ones, and they'd probably be put in the bitter greens category.
Yeah.
Would be my thought. But I think they'd be as good for you as any other lettuce-like leaf. Why not?
Sure. I don't know myself, but I'm sure there are people out there that do.
Yeah, I'm not really a big diet fan either. So,
what do you concentrate on most of your writings with?
I try to talk a lot about perspective. For example, the last issue, I did a piece on the master key system, which is an idea I have that no matter what happens to us, if something happens to me and it's the worst thing that ever happened to me, it's going to feel the same as whatever is the worst thing that ever happened to you. And there's no difference. And it could be, from the outside, it could look very different, but the feeling inside is very same. Because when we have an experience that's either the worst or the very best thing that ever happened to us, it's an invitation. It's an opening to a next higher possible experience. And the old saying that you can only go up as far as you've been down it's based on that. So if you have a bad experience and it's the worst you ever had, it's also opening up the space so that you can have the best possible experience. And it's like a bouncing effect. And the key, why I call it the key, is because the experience actually opens the door. It's the key to open the door. Did that make any sense?
Sure. Sure it does.
Good.
You mentioned earlier about, I think it was the book named Secret.
Yes.
How did, I'm guessing you obviously must have read that.
I saw the movie.
Oh, okay. Saw the movie, I guess. Well,
I owned the book. I have to confess, when it comes to reading, mostly I prefer to read for entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like swords and sorcerers. And
okay.
But I do watch movies, and I watched that movie, and it was a very good movie. But I was hanging out with those people in our community, so I was learning it anyway. It's not like I missed anything because I didn't sit down to read the whole book from beginning to end.
What is actually that book and the movie about, anyways? I don't really know much about it. I just know that Oprah Winfrey is the one that suggested the book to a lot of people and did a show on it.
Yeah. What it's about is it's a very basic, very grade one level of law of attraction theory. The problem with it, though, is that it's so basic that it left a whole lot of people thinking they could sit on their couch and meditate until they won the lottery.
Yeah.
And they'd never have to do anything. And that's so not the truth about law of attraction. Like, action is the biggest part of it. But it left a lot of people doing nothing, expecting the most out of the least. It doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't really seem to. I didn't really pay much of attention to it when it was around, when it was really big back then. I heard some things that it was new agey, new age, trying to, well, I don't know. I guess there's been a lot of things here lately that have so-called attacked Christianity or attacked religion. I myself don't really get into organized religion. I don't know. It just seems to be a control mechanism to me, along with government. I know I don't want to go down that path with you or anything, but everyone seems to want to control humanity.
Yes. Well, The Secret was only meant to be an introduction. It was meant to lead people into wanting to learn more for themselves. And if you follow that rabbit trail, you end up in quantum mechanics.
How is that?
This is based on quantum mechanics. It's not religious based at all.
Oh, really?
It's about the observer creates something. If something doesn't exist until it's observed.
Oh, are you talking about the premise of the book and the movie?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
That is the roots of it is quantum mechanics.
Okay.
They don't talk about it that way, but that's where you end up if you follow that rabbit trail.
There is no God. We are our own gods.
I guess some people go that way.
That's one interpretation anyways, huh?
Yes. and I don't think I go that way. I think we are all our own amoebas.
Well, you know, there's a lot of interesting things out there that might support that. I don't know. There are, I see a lot of things on the internet that a lot of people get tired of blaming something called the devil or blaming something called God when they claim that there is no proof of it. And, you know, I can see both sides of the argument, Kat.
Me too. And I think that, what was his name? Well, he was on to Freud. He was on to something when he said, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. I think he was on to something with that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, a lot of times people just need to take their own responsibility for their own reactions and their own actions. You know, it's maybe it seems to be a convenient scapegoat to blame something on the devil that you have done. You metaphorically, I mean.
Yes.
You have done something wrong, and you know, it's just an easy scapegoat.
Yeah. Are you a fan of Seth Godin?
I don't even know the name.
Okay. He's my marketing guru, and he sent out an email today talking just about exactly about that, and I completely agreed with him, too. He said if we put the energy that we put into trying to find the reasons for everything and just put that energy into reacting, or not reacting, but acting, managing, dealing with what is, we would all live much better lives. Why does there have to be a reason for everything?
Yes, yes. Well, you know, allegedly also that most of the wars over the past few millennia have been in the name of religion, in the name of God. My God is better than yours. Or whatever. My profit is better than yours.
You know? My wart's bigger than yours.
Yeah. It's just getting sickening, really.
Yeah, it's crazy. But what do you do? I mean, all we can do is stay focused on where we want to go. Otherwise, we're back in that blame game, and we're not dealing with what's in front of us again, right?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Which is the whole part, a big part of thriving is learning to just stay in your own. It doesn't mean not be aware of other things. It just means focus there. Don't start getting into that game where there's a reason for everything. There's a problem with everything.
Are you actually helping people focus on love, or are you helping people focus? I guess that's the question.
Yes, I guess you could say that. I'm helping them focus on what is true for them and what is true in their reality. And I try really hard to help people stop making stuff up. And if they're going to make stuff up, it should be good stuff. We all tend to dramatize the bad stuff.
Making stuff up. Explain some more of that.
Well, you know, stuff happens and we start making up who caused it and who's responsible. And, it's really hard to express that. We don't need to be doing that. We don't need to say, okay, my business is not doing well right now. It must be the economy. It must be
the scapegoat thing again.
Yeah. The scapegoat thing again. Yep. That's what the focus thing is about, is getting away from that.
Well, you know, psychologically speaking, those type of mentalities start at a very young age. Children want to please their parents or elders, and they will start making up stories. And I wonder if it just carries on into adulthood.
Absolutely. I have spent a lifetime beating that part of myself away, working very hard to get away from it. And today, I'm happy to report I'm a pretty happy person, and I really get stressed out, and I live, you know, I don't drive a Bentley, and I don't live in a mansion, but I live the life of my dreams, and I live with the man of my dreams, and I do what I love every day, so I don't see that it's a bad thing to work towards.
Well, you know, Kat, my grandfather used to tell us all the time, he died, I don't know, about 18 years ago, 1997. He was 80 years old, but we used to play cards a lot, all types of card games, and I always liked to be his partner, no matter what game it was. And He enjoyed playing with me, but he had one little saying a lot. Didn't matter what game it was. He would say, learn to play with the cards that you were given, and then we'll give you some good cards to play with. I think a lot of people can turn that right around and, you know where I'm going at? Trying to place that in their own daily lives.
Yep. So, you're talking about the idea that, you'll see it when you believe it rather than believe it when you see it?
Well, not so much. I think, it goes along with the, blame game that you're talking about.
Okay. You know? Yeah. Okay. I wasn't quite getting that.
Well, play with the cards that you're dealt with, even if they're bad cards. I guess that's the message.
Ah, yes, yes. Okay, I get it now. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I think maybe that's what a lot of people in the world seem to have problems with.
Yeah, but see, if you get okay with what you have, then you have an opportunity to create more. But it's until you get away from that panic, that stress. I have a saying. I always say that you can't see the red barn if you're always looking at the blue car.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you can't see the forest for the trees in the way.
Basically, I guess
that's what somebody else. A lot of people like to say that, but.
Well, if you're looking at the problem, you can't see the solution. It's that simple.
Sure. Sure, it is. Yeah.
You have to stop looking at the problem and start trying to look for the solution, and everything changes.
Well, I think also that people have their own comfort zone or their own box that they want to stay in. I think that can be a big problem.
Absolutely. And, you know, all we can do really is have compassion for those people and understanding, and hopefully they'll notice that. You know, like, for example, those around me, hopefully they'll notice that I'm living a different reality than them. I'm happy. I'm relaxed. I get to do what I want. And it's maybe they'll notice that and start asking questions. But it starts with compassion. Again, you can't notice always what's wrong with someone else and help them. It doesn't work that way. You have to just be the lighthouse and let them come to you.
Right. Do you have... Do you have techniques that you use in your writings, or?
No, I'm probably the most disorganized writer in the magazine.
Oh yeah.
Because I don't have as much time as I would like to do that. I'm, you know, busy talking to people, and you know, I really like talking to people. So, I do try to offer what I've learned, and I don't expect anyone to agree with me. I'm not sad if someone doesn't agree with me, but I have to offer what I think I see in the world. And compassion is a huge part of that. I haven't really talked about that much tonight, but that's a huge part of that.
Well, go ahead and expand on that. Talk as much as you'd like.
A lot of people talk about unconditional love and how important it is, but I don't really get that so many know what it actually means. Unconditional love is compassion, but compassion doesn't mean tolerating. You don't have to tolerate someone who you don't like. You need to accept who they are and love them for who they are, but you don't have to go have tea with them.
Sure. Well, you know, people might actually think that unconditional love means, I guess maybe they misconstrue the meaning of it. And, you know, somebody might say, well, you're married to an axe murderer. You're supposed to unconditionally love him or her or whatever the case is. And that's not necessarily true there.
No, absolutely not. That is not true. What that means is that you have to love them for who they are, but that doesn't mean you have to live with them or even tolerate them. You know, put them in a jail. That's fine.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't hate them, because then you become just like them.
Well, There we get into a very, very complicated word, the word hate.
Yes. Growing up, my father and I, we did not get along. And this is a super important lesson that he taught me. Because I loved him, he was my father, but I did not like him. And it became okay after a while to not like him.
I know exactly what you're talking about there. Yep. I have a lot of family members that I feel the same way about them. I love them, but I certainly don't like them. Not at all. Nope. And I, my dad was the same way with me. You know, I thought my aunt was going to try to blow my brain up with looking at me one time because I happened to mention that to her, and that was her brother. You know, I thought, well, I love my dad, but I don't really like him. And she didn't understand what I was talking about.
Yeah, but that is unconditional love.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Sure. I guess it makes
chosen
a lot of sense.
Chosen to be okay with both.
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe a lot of people think that if you do love somebody, you're supposed to like them also.
Yeah, no, they're two different things. So what I would recommend all you guys out there who are married to your wives, sometimes tell them you like her as well as that you love her.
Yeah.
It'll make a difference.
Sure it will. A lot of people don't. Well, you know, a few years back, a lot of shows tried to bring back date nights with married couples that have been married for so many years, and that they were starting to lose the luster of the relationship. And the suggestion of bringing the date night back was really helping a lot of people.
Yeah, I can see that would work. Once in a while, Peter and I have to do that because we get so busy we forget to spend some time together.
I bet a lot of people that have younger children, that would be very appealing to them anyways. Yeah,
absolutely. I use this technology that I started doing like 14 years ago called, I create a theme for the year. And a theme is a being, not a doing. It's something that you want to become. For example, you want to become relaxed or creative. It's not something you can go do. It's not like a New Year's resolution. And 1 year I did unconditional love. Now, the funny thing about this theme work is that once you set that intention for the year, by the end of the year, you've learned a ton about that subject. I don't know why it works, but it works every time. But this 1 year I did unconditional love. And what I learned first was that unconditional love starts with yourself. If you can't, I mean, we all judge ourselves. In fact, I usually assume that if you're judging someone, say 5%, you're judging someone else. You're judging yourself 50%. It's always 10 times worse that you direct at yourself. So unconditional love starts there. You have to start being okay with who you are and being okay with not being perfect and being okay with what others might consider flaws, because I guarantee you those flaws are the things that make you wonderful. Unless, of course, you're an axe murderer, you know.
Right.
It's what makes us unique, is the way our good parts and our bad parts are fit together. That's what makes us unique. And I used to have a teacher who said that we are all perfectly imperfect.
Yes, we are. Yeah. Perfectly.
I love that.
Perfectly imperfect. Yeah. I guess that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think so. So, you know, instead of trying to be perfect, that's craziness. That's back to that blame game thing.
Well,
it's my
also,
fault because I'm not this and whatever.
Yeah, people like to, there is a, there is a saying out there that we are our own worst enemies, and I think that rings true, especially for me anyways. We can be our own worst enemies. We can talk ourselves into sicknesses. We can talk ourselves into psychological illnesses.
Yep. And that's there. You go back to the quantum mechanics there.
Yeah.
Of the law of attraction.
Have you been studying quantum mechanics?
Well, it kind of goes with law of attraction. So yes, for many
years.
Does
it? How does that correlation work?
Well, the observer is the one who creates something by observing it. If you don't see yourself as sick, you probably won't be sick.
Okay. I've never actually studied quantum mechanics or quantum physics or anything.
Schrodinger's cat. You've heard of that?
I'm sorry?
Schrodinger's cat. You've heard of that? The cat in the box.
Cat in the box,
until
yeah.
Until you look, it's either live or dead.
It's either live or dead with the poisonous gas. Yeah.
Yep. Well, that's exactly what that means.
Sure.
It doesn't become either until you look.
No, it doesn't. That makes a lot of sense. I've never, well, I've heard about that, but I guess I never really had it explained to me.
Okay. I didn't know I was that smart.
Well, it's not so much smart or anything. It's just, you know, funny enough, I had a teacher tell me one time, I was in 11th grade current events, government. He said ignorance was never meant to be a bad word. We are all ignorant of something or another. And then he said, you show me somebody that claims they know everything about everything, and I'll show you a liar.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's just when we think ignorance means a bad thing, it's just another way that we judge. And we judge way too much. Spend way too much time judging.
Certainly
things.
We do. That's a lot of the reasons why we have the problems that we have today in this world.
Yep.
Judgments.
Yep. Absolutely. I agree.
And that goes,
maybe if we could get everybody reading my magazine, then maybe some of that would get alleviated. Who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess I should have asked this earlier. What is the link for your magazine?
Oh, it's www.themagichappens with an S, ordinary spelling of magic, M-A-G-I-C, .com, themagichappens.com. And if anybody out there thinks that someday they might like to write a book or would like to learn to write articles or whatever, we have an amazing writers community happening behind this. If you would like to write for us, just email me at cat@themagichappens.com. I'd love to talk to anybody who'd like to give it a shot.
Yeah, very good. I mean, we still have about 10 minutes left here.
Oh, and, okay. Sorry.
No.
Shameless plug there.
No, that's quite okay. I'll ask you. I'll probably ask it for it again. I should have asked it for it in the beginning. We got off on all different kinds of trails and totally slipped my mind.
Right?
Yes. It can be, and then it can't be. I have, I've never been officially diagnosed with ADD or ADHD, but I think that's probably what I've always had. Sometimes I have trouble concentrating on one thing, and I have three different rabbits catch my eye, and I got to go chase them or something.
You and me both.
Yeah.
So that's another thing you shouldn't judge yourself for. Do you know, I learned something. That people with ADD actually make some of the very best entrepreneurs in the world.
Yeah.
Yep. Something like 75% of them, if you talk to them when they were kids, they had all the symptoms.
Constantly thinking about something, huh?
Well, they do stuff. They're always on the go, and they can think about four things at the same time without blowing up.
Right. Well, you know, it's just odd. Some of the things that they've put labels on, they give the label ADD or ADHD. And when I was a young boy, they just called that being a normal kid.
Yep.
You know, go outside and run off some energy. That's what I was told.
Well, it was known in my family as they didn't call it anything, but they recognized it. And they just would take the kids like me that were hyper and feed us a tablespoon of coffee in the morning. Well, seriously, Ritalin, which they feed ADD kids, is just a derivative of caffeine.
Yeah.
So they would give us a little bit of caffeine, and it would calm us down, and then we'd go about our day. You'd get thrown in jail for that now.
For coffee? Oh, well.
Close to.
Yeah.
For feeding your kids coffee, maybe. In some places, I'm sure. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know. No, I was just... I don't know. I've known a lot of, quite a few young kids that do drink coffee. And oddly enough, their parents let them do it. But I don't know. Who's to say it's bad? Who's to say it's good?
Yeah, who knows?
It depends on a lot of things. It depends on the doctor you're talking to, on what's good for you to eat and what's good for you not to eat.
Yep. But I don't really worry about that so much.
Yeah.
There's just too many variables. I can't keep track of them all. I'm not that smart.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned a couple of, you know, a couple of writers, and I guess we can take a few minutes here and get into some more of what goes into the publication as far as content
okay.
and material.
Okay. Well, let me explain the different parts. But I'd like to make it clear, though, we're working towards expanding. So what it looks like today, it's probably not going to look like in 6 months. But right now we have four different sections, and the first part is called our feature section. And what that is we give out a prompt word once a month. Like, for example, the prompt word, we actually have two for April, is become and feel. And then everyone's supposed to take that word and see what comes up for them. A story they might want to tell, something they can teach, you know, whatever. And then, so we have in that top section, we have, you know, maybe 10 or 20 articles all about the same word, but they're all very different in the direction that they go. And then the second section we have is our writer's columns, and that's free space for our writers. Some people actually write column like you would see in a newspaper or a magazine. There's Christina's Blooming Life, for example, and Suzanne's Lady of Grey House. And then there's a lot of people using that part to write books. We've learned from Amazon that you're better off to write small books and write a series of them. So after a year or two of, you know, 12 articles in your column, you have a small book. So, and then there's people like me who just throw up whatever's on their mind that day when it's time to write. Then we have our inspired to do section, which has got everything in it. From, we have a guy who wrote, actually my husband wrote, how to make beer once, how to make bread, how to hug a tree was put in there one time, all sorts of curious and interesting things. And then the last part is called My View, and it's a review section where people are allowed to review anything they want except themselves, because that would be tacky. And very soon, well, we will have a video column section. I don't really know much about how that's going to look yet. We've just started on it, but that should be along in a couple months. And also, we're looking at having our own 24/7 radio, streaming radio, internet radio station.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah. Is it going to be focused on live content, or you can just run people's podcasts and stuff like that?
Probably some of both. So that would be my choice, to do some of both.
Uh-huh.
But again, we're just starting on that journey, so I don't have all the answers yet. It depends on what we can do, and, you know, like equipment is always an issue, right?
Oh, well, software and equipment, yeah. Some of the best people out here in this alternative media, so-called, you know, we don't have corporate backing and stuff like that. We're all doing this for free. I do need to mention, before the break here, we've got about 3 minutes to end there. We are not corporate backed, so we do need listener support. So please go hit that donate button, and I'll mention it right after the break also. But would you like to take 2 or 3 minutes here and, I don't know, maybe give some kind of a message?
Sure. Well, first I'd like to say, like you, this is all a labor of love. So if anybody loves what we're doing, we'd love a donation as well. A message. Yes. Love yourselves, guys. Cause this is it. This is all you get. I mean, even if you believe in reincarnation, it doesn't matter. Right now, this minute is all you get. So love yourselves and love everyone around you, and love even those who you think are not lovable. And then come and read The Magic Happens, and at www.themagichappens.com. And if you want to write for us, please do that, because, you know, we love to hear what new people have to say. We believe that everyone's story counts. So.
Yeah, Kat. I just thought of something really quick here. You can probably answer in the next 2 minutes or so, but, you know, what do you think about a global consciousness?
I think we're already on our way to it.
Yeah.
I believe that. I believe that the evolution is happening all over the world, and we just don't see it, because all we hear about is the people who are behaving badly, which is a small percentage of the population. That's what I believe.
Oh, yes, it absolutely is. You know, if you turn on any country's or any city's news around the world, or any national news around the world, you're definitely going to get doom and gloom.
Absolutely. But that's just because that's what the media does. That's what I believe is unique about what I'm doing. We're trying to get to a full-blown magazine, but it will always have that bend towards being uplifting because I'm tired of all the doom and gloom. It's not necessary.
Sick and tired of being sick and tired.
It doesn't help anybody.
Right? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go have some, you know, smiles and let's build something instead of breaking it down and destroying things.
Well, you know, they know we're supposed to be, we were... Oh, there's my music right there. I can't finish my thought. So thank you, Kathleen McCarthy, for coming on. And we will be right back. Thank you, everyone.